The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific. Hold on to your hat. This show is going to be very challenging Tuesday as we examine the living word of God together, not to be confused with the wasteful words of the worldly. I can do that again. The wasteful words of the worldly. Hey, that's really hard. The wasteful words of the worldly. Yeah, three times a charm. Keep in mind, those words of the worldly, good for nothing eternal, bring no actual value to people's lives. First up, how does the prophecy of Zechariah work for us right now without just using it as an end time approach? Is there something within the prophet's writing that can help us today? We answer that question. Next, we review a devotional from Pastor Ray's book about King David in the cave before he was a king. The greatest known psalm was written in the darkest moments of a future king. There's a lesson here. And finally, Jesus quoted Psalm 22 while he was dying on the cross. Is this a theological moment? Or is this the psalm of God's faithfulness? Or is it both?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. How much more? So much more, as I have counted at least 7 mistakes in my intro.
How's that? That's pretty good.
Hey, we're simply asking you, what do you think? You can reach out to us at 214-210-8483. That's by text. Now listen to what I'm saying. Ooba, 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 ding. Listen, okay? Text is 214-210-8483. The phone number to call, 972-445-0770. You are welcome to ask us a pop question. If I can answer it on the spot, I will. If not, I will defer it to another time. You are welcome to ask for prayer. You are welcome to share a praise report. Whatever it is that's going on, we want to be a part of it because this is an hour which we strengthen one another, encourage one another, and bless one another, which is why you can't get mad at me for messing up on my intro. Just not allowed. Just not good enough. And then we also do trivia. That's one of the things that we do. We have a lot of fun with that. Here's the first trivia question. Should not be a big challenge for many of you. What was the name of the queen who came from a far country to witness for herself the wisdom of King Solomon? Ho, ho, ho! What was the name of the queen who came from a far country to witness for herself the wisdom of King Solomon? Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. See that? I barely get through the intro.
That's okay. It's Sheba, Queen of Sheba.
Queen of Sheba, you are right, my friend. The Queen of Sheba, she was so impressed. I mean, she was most impressed about was the quality and the spirit of his workers going through the process, which tells you that everybody was doing really well. I know that our country is extremely prosperous, but one wonders from time to time if a country where the silver was considered as rocks might also be a very wealthy country. I think so. Excellent job, my brother. Excellent.
No, you're welcome.
All right. God bless.
God bless you too, David.
All right, take care. Bye. Ronnie opening the door. Bam! Queen of Sheba. Bam! I'm ready. He is ready. I love that he's that ready. All right. Let's cover a couple of other things I do want to make sure. So I'm going to talk about a couple of things today. And one of them, the third segment, is going to be the one where you're going to go, oh, no, isn't that blasphemy? And it's like, no, it's not blasphemy. I'm just going to present a alternate point of view on one particular element. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about an eschatological text, a text that is primary for the end times, and show that it can also have present-day application in our individual lives. This is what we call the dynamic application principle. Everybody say dynamic application principle. Now say it in Yiddish. Okay, now say it in Swahili. Okay, so basically you're not going to be able to do that. Here's the bottom line. The dynamic application principle is applying scripture when you're reading it. This is what this is. When you're reading the Bible, and remember you're reading the Bible, and then all of a sudden, bing, the scripture jumps off the page and kind of smacks you in the forehead, and you go, wowza! And it has a direct application for you, that's fine. That never takes precedent over context. It never takes precedent over historical value, but it doesn't mean the Lord doesn't use it to teach you, guide you, and direct you. We're going to use that application right here, starting in Zechariah, and then in the third segment in what is considered one of the most sacred teachings in all of text. Wow. And we also have somebody else calling in, so we're going to wait before I jump into it because I just want everybody to get an opportunity to share. Okay, nope. No, okay, large pizza pepperoni. Okay, I'm trying. Okay, I want to talk to you about this portion in Zechariah. Again, this is primarily, I can't stress this enough, I don't know how to do it, primarily eschatological, which means it's for the end times, okay? But in all eschatology that's written and that you get to read, all the things that are prophetic, there is always truths and nuggets that we get to utilize to help us live our lives. Here in Zechariah chapter 8, I'm going to read a few verses and pull out just the application for you and I. Then another message came to me from the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord Almighty says. My love for Mount Zion is passionate and strong. I am consumed with passion for Jerusalem. And now the Lord says, I am returning to Mount Zion, and I will live in Jerusalem. And then Jerusalem will be called Faithful City, the mountain of the Lord Almighty. And it will be called the Holy Mountain. And this is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, old men and women will walk Jerusalem's streets with a cane and sit together in the city squares. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls at play. This is what the Lord Almighty says. All this may seem impossible to you now, a small and discouraged remnant of God's people, but do you think this is impossible for me, the Lord Almighty? This is what the Lord Almighty says. You can be sure that I will rescue my people from the east and from the west, and I will bring them home again to live safely in Jerusalem. There they will be my people, and I will be faithful and just towards them as their God. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Take heart and finish the task. Yes! So there's three cool things out of here that I want to pull that I think you can find as amazing and fantastic. The Lord has brought me through Zechariah yet again for whatever reason, I don't know. Actually, in three different translations, which I still don't quite understand why the Lord does that. But here's the bottom line. The first thing he says in chapter 8 is, my love for Mount Zion is passionate and strong. I am consumed with a passion for Jerusalem. And Jerusalem here is literally and symbolically the people of God. And let me tell you something that somebody needs to say to you on a regular basis, and I'll do it sometimes, and other people will do it other times. God is absolutely passionate and full of love and consumed with passion for you. Not just for the city, for you, the people of God. He loves you. He laid his life down for you. He gave of himself for you. He's passionate about you. Keep thinking, well, I hope people like me. The God of the universe thinks you're awesome. I think I'd start there and work my way down. That's how I would start it. People are like, well, I don't have a very good self-image. Well, apparently you're not listening to God. Because if you were listening to God, you'd be like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Why? Because God is passionate about you. He loves you. And then he's going through this text and talking about this great work he's going to do. And then he says this, and this is the stuff I love in Scripture, the dynamic application principle that I absolutely love. This is what the Lord Almighty says. All this may seem impossible to you now. Yeah, small group of people, not a lot going on, not a lot of happening, not a lot of resource, not a lot of anything. And then the Lord goes, but do you think that this is impossible for me, the Lord Almighty? The work that God is doing in your life might seem like it's small. You might seem small. You might feel insignificant. But do you think that God can take that which is insignificant and make it glorious? After all, he's going to do a redo on planet Earth and the heavens. I bet you that's going to be pretty cool. How about the work that he's doing in your life? Do you believe that he can make it just so glorious? I mean, it might seem impossible that God can get me out of this situation. I just don't know how to get out of it. Congratulations. Welcome to the world of living with the Lord in relationship. I just don't know how I'm going to get out of it. All I can do, Lord, is look to you. Why? Because nothing is impossible for God. And so you might feel small and discouraged, but you need to remember the great possibilities and opportunities that come from our God, who's passionate about you, right? And then he says this in the close of this little section. He says, take heart and finish the task. It's like the Lord saying, hey, you little buckaroo. Hey, you little buckaroo, buckle up. Buckle up. You can do this. And all you need to know from time to time is that little voice that comes from the Lord going, you can do it. You can do it. And if you know that God is there saying you can do it, guess what you believe and guess what you operate in? You can do it. That's right. And it's like, how awesome. This is a great text. It has great implications for Israel, for Jerusalem, eschatological, and all those things. But right here, right now, in this application, you get to see that God is absolutely passionate and loves his people. And he's telling you, look, what seems really hard and really difficult and downright crazy, God is able to do because nothing is impossible for the Lord. In the meantime, little buckaroo, you take heart and you finish the task and don't you dare give up. Now, how cool is that? Maybe we should be reading those things a little bit more often in regards to their present-day application, in regards to their dynamic application principle. Yeah, that's what I say. Okay, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
Hey. Here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down, and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Our hope, my hope is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people who vote for, but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it. And it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea.
People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a...
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Boy, that little teaching there, that got me riled up. That was like, you know, just like, you know, like a little bit of get the engine revving. I'm trying to keep people updated on all the things that I go through so they can kind of have some connection to where I come from in this. I did have to do a quiz today. I was just telling T, and I passed. Yay! It was really good. What's cool is I took the material and I put it in these flashcards and I sent it to some of the members in the class, and they were like, yay! I found this free flashcard thing there thingy. You know, that's what I do. That's what I do with my time. Just way too much time there. Okay, don't forget, you can reach out to us, 214-210-8483 by text. 972-445-0770 is the actual phone number to call in and to have Terrific T pick up the phone. Additionally, we have found out that some people are trying to do sky riding in the sky with using clouds and fumes behind the airplane. The only problem with that is that we're in a studio and we just don't have a really nice open view. In fact, I have like a stucco ceiling. What is it? Like a stucco ceiling with kind of like all different, right? It's not exactly super duper cool.
Mine isn't either.
Yeah.
Can't even see the sun. I know it's coming.
Yeah. There's a sun out there. You just can't see it when you're in the studio. Okay, before we get into the website, let's get our next question out there for people that want to answer. And for people that are thinking, Dave, you're so arrogant. Here's my answer. You're so right. You're right. What? I do my own repenting. I don't know. You do self-evaluation. It's amazing how many more sins you can catch and bring before the Lord. It's just amazing. You look into the mirror inside yourself and go, ay, ay, ay. I'm so glad God likes me. I wouldn't like me. Here's the next question. In regards to Saul, before he became Paul, he was blind. How many days was he in Damascus before he was given his sight back? How many days was Saul in Damascus? We got people that are just on the spot. Ronnie might be on a tear, so we're going to give him that opportunity. Let's see what he has to say. So, nope. No, another pizza. Okay. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Well, there you go. I will let you know, because I do tell you these kind of things as well, that we paid our rent today. We paid a little bit in the rear, not a lot in the rears, but a little bit in the rears. We did pay our rent, and now the account's a little low. How low? How low can you go? That's how low it is. So if you're able to give, we'd appreciate it. And if you can't, we do expect you at least to pray for us. There's nothing wrong with that. But we do want you to take care of home base first. No matter what happens in your giving process, you take care of your church, your home base first. And if the Lord gives you an ability to give beyond that, and we can be a part of that, great. If not, don't worry about it, okay? Just do the best you can. That's what we say. All right.
Now we have another pizza caller. Let's see what we got. Go ahead. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is David. Who am I talking to?
My name's Jason Regan. How are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing fantastic. I got a couple of questions about the Old Testament dealing with sacrifices and uncleanness. My wife and I read the Bible together throughout the year, and we're doing it chronologically, so we're getting a little slice of several different books at the same time. All those names and numbers, it's a little overwhelming. But I'm curious about some of the sacrifices and the blood and the sprinkling of the horns and why the high priest is not allowed to defile himself for a close member of the family. Some members of the family that are born deformed can eat of the holy and the most holy food, but they couldn't present it before the Lord. There's some a lot of stuff in there. How does that pertain to Jesus? I'll take the answer offline if you want to.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So I'm going to do my best to answer that question. It's really quite a fantastic series of questions, and I'm going to do my best to answer it. If I miss one, don't hesitate to send me an email for a follow-up, okay? I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. All right. So,
gotcha.
Okay. And you can hang on if you want to. That's up to you. I mean, in your hands. But there's a couple of things that people don't recognize about what Jesus did on the law, and you brought up, there's a bunch that I can go after. Let's go after it most immediately. The high priest can only go into the presence of God, the very presence of God, once a year on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. That was the only time that the high priest could actually go into the actual presence of God. The reason that exists, and then between that and Adam, when Adam sinned, he did one thing that was unique to human nature, ran away from God. Okay, instead of coming to God, he ran away from God. In the framework of the law, there's many commentators, myself included, that believe that the priest coming into the presence of God was a testimony against what Adam did, and then it was a forerunner or a foreshadow of what Jesus Christ would enable us to do, which in Hebrews 10:19-22 says that Jesus made that passageway that the high priest had open for every believer to go in. That's okay. You can keep listening. We'll just keep going. So anyway, Jesus made a passageway or an open way for everybody to come in 24/7. So in Adam's case, he ran away from God. In the high priest's case, many people believe that this is a testimony for what was forthcoming to redeem us from what Adam created in running away from God. And it was a testimony and a foreshadowing of that which was to come. And then when Jesus came as the high priest, like I said in Hebrews 10:19-22, he opened a new and living way by his blood by which we can access the Father 24/7. So that's the first thing I would say in that. The second, that's the first kind of thing. So in the Old Testament, you see it as a foreshadowing or as a testimony pointing towards what was coming. And many people understand in Galatians that the law itself is a tutor, and that's what Paul said in Galatians, to bring us to Christ so that we can go from point A to point B. But man's human nature of rebellion, God needed to lay down what the law was so man can see that man could not fulfill this without the help of God, and running away from God was the very opposite of what God wanted from mankind. What God wanted and wants and will always want is for mankind to run towards God. The next thing that you deal with is you say, well, there's a lot of rules and regulations, and it used to be that the holiness of God was so underappreciated, especially in the children of Israel going through the desert, that the laws dropped down in Exodus and Leviticus and in Numbers had to do with people understanding that coming before God is a tremendous process, a tremendous honor. Unfortunately, many believers and many people and children of Israel treated it poorly, and they didn't think of God as holy. So God set rules in place going, look, it's so holy. And then a lot of rebukes that come from the prophets are, you wouldn't offer this kind of offering that's less than to your governor, yet you'd offer it to God. That's a huge amount of disrespect. It wasn't that God didn't love people that had deformities or people that had challenges, but again, it's another testimony. Keep in mind that the Old Testament runs to the New Testament. I know there's some Christians that are really stuck in, no, no, it's all about the old, it's all about the old. And it's like, oh, that's great. But if I was walking down the road and I found a copy of the New Testament, I would find out that I get saved through Jesus. If I walked down the road and found just a copy of the Old Testament, I could find out I'm a sinful man. In other words, there's a better redemption story that's in the new, that's in the old. The other part about this that's super important is Jesus was a fulfillment. And what people miss is there are three parts to the law. There is the moral law, there is the civil law, and then there is the sacrificial or ceremonial law that you had mentioned. Jesus fulfilled all of the requirements for the ceremonial law, so we don't have the same levels of ceremony. He didn't change the moral law, and the civil laws seem to flow from government to government, although there's some standards that seem to basically run throughout, which is you're not supposed to steal. Unfortunately, in America, a lot of people in government forgot that. But anyway, the idea is to understand that Jesus fulfills that ceremonial law. So what's in the old points forward to what God is going to do. And what's essentially important about that is the grasping of the hope that's found in Isaiah, 2 Peter, and in the book of Revelation. And I was actually praying about this earlier today, so it's funny you should ask, that people don't live with this insight that what was is going to be changed. There's a new heavens and a new earth. And the attempt by man is to bandage the old, which is insufficient for God. It doesn't maintain that quality. And what we know now is because of sin, nature is held in bondage until there's redemption. We find that in Romans chapter 8. And so the idea is that everything points forward to Jesus, and then from Jesus, everything's pointing forward to the new heavens and the new earth where God does the full onslaught redemption. Onslaught is probably not the right word, but the full everything. You know what I'm saying? And so the idea here is that from the garden, what was lost in the garden gets restored by the ministry of Jesus Christ, and everything God does from that, fulfilling the covenant with Abraham, points towards that. And then once we're in Jesus, it points towards the advancing of the kingdom and the collecting of the people of God. And then from there, we're going to be pointing and living in the new heavens and the new earth. I know that's a lot, and it's really tough to kind of answer them all like specifically, but I'm hoping it's somewhat helpful. In a ceremonial sense, there's testimony. In the New Testament, there's the fulfillment of that testimony by the life of Jesus Christ, by the fulfillment of those ceremonial requirements so that we don't live under them anymore, which is why people say, well, you can't eat lobster. It's like these ceremonial things have been fulfilled. Okay, move on. Give thanks, move on. That's kind of the whole premise there. Okay. By the way, the answer to the question, how many days was Saul blind in Damascus? The answer is 3. 3 days he was blind in Damascus. Hope that was helpful. If not, do a follow-up email. I'll do my best to help out. Folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to thank our last caller. I don't know if I answered the questions either in the order or in the totality that they were looking for, him and his wife. So I would encourage you, send me out an email. Don't hesitate to send me an email. You can go to the website, which we're going to talk about in a second, but you can go on the website and fill out a form. We don't share it, or nobody gets that info. And if I can answer that question more fully, I'll be glad to do so either on the show or through email. And what I want to encourage people to do is call and ask those questions. Because, I mean, I don't have every single answer. I got a lot of them. That's kind of unfortunate for you guys. I have a lot because, listen, you've heard me say before, and I'll say it again. I was born and raised Jewish, became a Christian, and in our family, it's two Jews, three opinions, which means that there's more than one opinion coming. So I hope I didn't overwhelm, because I know my wife's going to listen to it and go, "You didn't even take a breath, Dave." It's like, thanks, honey. That's coming, isn't it? You know it's coming. I don't care what you say to me. But if you want to call in anytime, ask a pop question or share a testimony or prayer request or trivia answer. We got one more trivia question to ask you. See if you might know this. If you know, you're welcome to call 972-445-0770. Or you can text 214-210-8483. Here's the next trivia question. Which came first? The plague of lice or the plague of frogs? Got a 50-50 shot there, don't you? The plague of lice, and I didn't say rice, I said lice. The plague of lice or the plague of frogs, which came first, either one's in. So no problem there. If you think you know the answer, you can text in 214-210-8483. We must be on some kind of rotation number. People calling in for pizza. We've had multiple calls like that going on today. I don't know. It's kind of a weird, unique thing. Okay. All right. So we do have somebody who's going to be answering this. So hang on one sec. Here we go. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie. What's going on, man?
Not much, just trying to answer another question. I may be wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, it was the plague of frogs.
That is correct. The plague of frogs was before the plague of lice. Excellent job, Ronnie. Good call.
Thank you.
So it's kind of a 50-50, right? Just kind of like...
Well, it was a bunch of plagues. It was 10.
Yeah, there was 10, and then there came in all ways, shapes, and forms. But boy, I tell you, lice would be bad, frogs would be bad, gnats would be bad. What wouldn't be bad out of all that stuff? It was all bad.
Yeah, but it was done for a good reason, though.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. So excellent job. Thank you, my brother.
And I want to apologize. I couldn't answer the other question because I was driving.
Ah, no problem. See, this is the guy. His heart is in it. He wants to answer them all. Okay, well, there's one more coming in the next segment.
Okay.
So you keep listening. All right. We'll be glad to get it from you, okay?
Okay, thank you, brother.
All right, take care. All right, folks, here we go. Let's see. Website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so as you know, on the website, I have a little link there for Ray Bentley's book. So people are like, well, what's the deal with Pastor Ray Bentley? Why do you talk about it? Okay, so let me just make a couple things clear. One, there is no money exchanging. There's no value being created one way or another that's going on there. Pastor Ray is just a very, very good friend of mine who happened to write a really good devotional. It's not that I don't have other friends that have written great materials and great devotionals. His are just really good. It's like, don't get mad at me. It's like, it's just my opinion. You might not like it. I happen to like it, and I teach you. I'm going to teach you in 1 minute from it. But if you want to get access to the book, he's broken it down into 365 days, and each day has a little bit of a devotional, kind of like an Oswald Chambers kind of, you know, mentality. It's $16.99, plus I think they charge $2 something for the delivery. It's like $20.50. And I've told everybody, and I will tell you this, if you get that book and you read it and you really don't like it, tell me. I'll just give you your money back out of my own pocket. Now, the only reason I'm doing that is because I think it's a really good devotional. I think it works really good, and it's a blessing, and it's encouraging. And I'll say it in the nicest way. I want to make sure that the deals that we would promote or anything we do is good, and it's worth the $20. And that's kind of how I look at it. So let me give you a little taste of that. If you want more information on it, you can always go to raybentley.com or on our website, hemustincrease.org is a direct link. And like I said, I don't get anything for it. I didn't even tell Ray I was doing it. I'm sure I'll get a text. Why did I get 50 orders? That's what he's going to ask, but it's okay. Lesson from the cave. This is from the other day. So, thus Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and Saul was still more afraid of David, so Saul became David's enemy continually. This is 1 Samuel 18:28 through 29, directly from Ray's devotional. Has life taken a hard turn and you feel frustrated, hurt, or fearful about what's ahead? We are promised in Scripture, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose in Romans 8:28. All things? It just doesn't feel that way when we encounter pain and betrayal and heartache. How can this hardship work for good? David, who would become king of Israel, learned through his pain and the lessons that came with it. He was a rising star. The people were singing his praises throughout the land. He had the esteem of his peers, the nation, even the king's daughters. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s, women saying. He was called wise, anointed. All of Israel and Judah loved David. That's from 1 Samuel 18:7 and verse 16. David clearly had charisma and popularity. But the foundation of leadership has to be character, not charisma. God was looking for a man of character to place upon the throne of Israel. King Saul once loved David until Saul's jealousy and bitterness changed his heart. His death threats became David's torments. When David escaped to the wilderness and hid in the caves of Judah, he probably thought he'd be there a couple of weeks, just until things cooled down. He and the band of men who eventually joined him never thought they'd be living a Robin Hood existence for over 10 years. During those dark and painful days, David wrote some of the most moving and passionate psalms found in the Bible. During this time, his relationship with the Lord deepened in a marvelous way. God drew David into an intimate relationship with him and taught him some of the most important lessons of his life. During those years in the caves, David was transformed from an innocent shepherd boy into a rugged man of integrity and honor, a man after God's own heart. With his heart resolutely fixed on the Lord, the lessons of David that David learned would minister to others through his psalms for generations to come. God's love for us sometimes takes us to deep, dark caves where we grow in intimacy and faith, where we too will cry out like David, who said in Psalm 142, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. You are my refuge. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name, for you shall deal bountifully with me." What a beautiful devotional piece. That comes out of Ray's book. And here's the point. The point is that sometimes in the caves of our lives, some of the hardest places, God is forging out some of the greatest portions of character in our lives. Psalm 23, the most well-known psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," written in a cave, not in a place where one was just dancing on top and the world was fantastic. In fact, some of the hardest lessons that we have ever been taught are the ones that help us reflect Jesus Christ the most. And what we want is we want everything to be perfect and simple and solved all the time. Don't, there's no point in lying about it. No point in trying to push it to the side. We just want it all the way that we think it should be all the time. But that's not the wisdom of God, and that's not the love of God. For we are being made into the image of Jesus Christ, glory by glory. That means step by step, piece by piece. And as that glory of transformation takes place, there are different things in our character that need to be enhanced and other things that need to be eliminated. And the Lord chooses in our lives those character lessons or those maturity lessons that will help us to more accurately reflect Jesus Christ. That does not mean that everything is always dancing on the top of a pinhead or dancing on top of the streets of gold, because before honor is humility. And Jesus showed the way by showing us how to endure suffering and the cross. Now, you won't have the same cross that Jesus Christ had, but you will still have a cross in your life. But the coolest thing about God that exists for every Bible-believing, born-again Christian is after the cross, there is a resurrection. And a newfound power, a newfound authority, and a newfound life. And that's what going through a cave brings for you and I. Isn't that awesome? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Just as I am. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Today is Have a Bad Day Day. I don't know. Have a Bad Day Day? Somebody had to take the time to name a day a bad day? I don't know.
I think it's also National Men's Day, so that kind of works.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Play Monopoly Day is also a holiday that some people like. And then World Toilet Day.
Okay.
I'm not even going to... Not even close. Not even going to touch that. For those that want to know, this is the stuff I like. This is what you get when you listen to the show. On this day in 1959, the Edsel was discontinued. That might be interesting. But this is what's fascinating. Rocky and Bullwinkle. Rocky and his friends premiered on this day in 1959. See, that's important.
I hated that cartoon.
Did you really hate
Horrible.
That cartoon?
Okay. Horrible.
I liked it. I always thought, you know, the Russians did it. Do you remember when they were going
Natasha
through?
Yeah, and Boris.
They were going through this whole thing with Donald Trump and that whole thing, and people kept dropping in these memes with the – it was so funny. I mean, it was some pretty funny stuff. And I will tell you one last thing, and we'll get into the teaching. We'll do trivia in the next segment. I will let you know that my wife and I got into a discussion last night as we were watching television, as we were watching a show, while we're working on stuff together, and I don't have the answer, so I'm going to ask Wonder Julie. And if you call in for a trivia, you might be able to give us the answer. But we're watching a show, and in the show, there's all these people that are skydiving. And then the last guy goes, and I tried to say, well, it looks like he's skydived. And then I was like, well, that doesn't sound right. Skydived, because that's past tense. And then skydove. And then that didn't sound right. And then skydiven. And that doesn't sound right. Skydivid. That doesn't sound right. Skydiv, jump out. I mean, what is the past tense of skydived? It just seems weird. It seems like it's a weird. Do you have any idea what it is?
I don't know. I never would jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
It was one of those things we looked at each other and laughed because we're like, I don't even know the answer to this. My English is so bad. I can't even figure out how to give me the past tense. I mean, sky dove, but it just seems like a weird word. Maybe it's me. That's what happens when they experiment with you when drugs, when you're like 1 year old. Try this on him. Try this on him. That was me. All right, let's go into Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Poor Wonder Julie's going, what happened to you? Nothing. It's the same idiotic me.
Hey, I leave you alone for one day and the wheels come off.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Oh, me, oh, my.
Is that just you just think about that routine. It's like, that was not planned. That was just us going, oh, yeah, I'm losing it right here.
Because it's making me think. Like, I think Gil was right the first time, skydived.
Yeah. But that doesn't even make sense because it's skydived. And it's like, I don't know. I need somebody who's a linguistic person. Like, and I'm already having problems with participles and stems in Hebrew, let alone English. I know it better in Hebrew than I do in English. Don't ask me how. But anyway, this is the challenges that we go through in life. It's not all just about seriousness. Sometimes you just look at it and you look up and you go, anytime you want that trumpet to go, hey, would you like some help? I can buy a trumpet for you. Okay. Final trivia question. Again, our number 972-445-0770. If you want to text 214-210-8483, how old was Methuselah when he died? How old was Methuselah when he died? Keep that in mind. Website, hemustincrease.org. You want to do the other one? Okay, do the other one.
I completely, cut it off for some reason.
Okay, so try it again.
I'm going to find it.
Okay, find the hemustincrease.org. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. That's right. That's our professionalism.
So professional.
I mean, that is T being absolutely professional. Like with the last time of the show, I couldn't get the first intro out. I made seven mistakes in the first intro.
It's Tuesday.
Well, yeah, but yesterday was Monday. I thought we already used that excuse.
You know, these last 2 days, it's Monday and Tuesday are the days. Wednesday will be better.
Wednesday will be better, and then you just got to get to Friday. Here's the last segment. Okay. So, you guys, I know you kind of like me a little bit. You have to like me a little bit. You're required to scripturally. So I'll just give you a quick little history thing, and then I'm going to go into this teaching that you're going to think, what? Today is National Secondhand Wardrobe Day. I have no idea how that really works. I was 4 years apart from my sibling, my mom wouldn't keep something around for 4 years. That would never, ever have happened. National Banana Split Day, though, that's pretty cool. Although this is my absolute favorite. In 1835, on this day, there was the Great Moon Hoax. Probably never heard of this. The first of six articles published in the New York newspaper, The Sun, about the discovery, supposed discovery, of life on the moon. This is in 1835. The article described fantastic animals on the moon, bison, goats, unicorns, bipedal tailless beavers, bat-like winged humanoids who built temples. They were supposedly discovered with an immense telescope with an entirely new principle. So it was a hoax, and they had to expose that it was a hoax. It was one of the best hoax that was done, and it was attributed to Sir John Herschel, who was the best-known astronomer. But it just tells you stuff that you hear on the news. There you go. The root word in Greek for news is the same root word for rumor. That's all you got to know. What do you got to know? All right, I love you guys. Here's the part. You can't get mad at me. You have to love me. It's up to you. Psalm 22, verse 1 through 5. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out to you by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. This is the first and second verse, the first verse, actually, that Jesus quoted on the cross before he tasted death, but then out to an immediate form of eternal glory. Some scholars say this is the moment when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is the moment that the Father turned away from Jesus. When the Father separated himself from the Son, he separates himself from the Son, get this, and then the sins of the world were laid on Jesus. So this is a soteriology premise. There's an idea. There's many several popular teachers who have taught this is the moment where Jesus said, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? They think that Jesus took all the sins of the world. God the Father looked away, and they will justify that by saying certain things like, well, God cannot behold evil, and, you know, that's the big deal. And so that's the moment where he looked away from the Son. Okay, I am not going to say that is false, but I am going to say that is suspect. And you're thinking, how could you say that? Well, there's 50 billion reasons, not the least of which is later in the psalm, the same psalm that Jesus was quoting. Verse 24 says, he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one, and he has not hidden his face from him. So in the very same psalm, you get this reference that God did not hide his face from him. So that makes me think, And then in regards to God cannot behold evil, the concept or the principle of to behold evil is to look upon with length. And then the last thing that people will say is, well, God and evil can't be in the same room. It's like you're not quite getting how that goes since Satan has been in heaven accusing believers. So you got to watch stuff like that. Not that it's bad to think that in a theological sense, but be careful because there's nothing that gives credence to it. It just sounds super religious. It sounds great. And I understand that if I was in the room with other scholars, we'd be arguing. I get it. But verse 24 of this exact same psalm says that God does not look away. And therein lies part of the problem. Here's what I think is being missed, and so we don't get into it because you want to just make sure that people protect the psalm for Jesus, which is nothing wrong, by the way, for being protective of Scripture. But the rest of the psalm kind of tells you all that you need to know. If you stop it, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a very depressing psalm. Just stop there. It's like, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's it. It's like nothing left. Verse 3. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and you were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. If you miss the rest of that psalm, it's a big miss. Because the whole psalm is, oh, I'm feeling alone and separated and yucky. But you are faithful. You are faithful still. Get that? Okay, hold on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, my name's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Okay, we got the trivia question. You ready for the trivia question?
Well, actually, no. I was calling about the Psalm 22 that you were just speaking
good.
About.
Okay, good. I'll answer the trivia question later. You only get about 2 minutes, so give it to me. Give it to me.
I was just going to say, I was told that he never called his father, my God. What he was doing was proving that he was the Messiah that David was talking about. That's why he quoted that verse.
And I think that's exactly, that's much more correct in the context that he's quoting that verse in the fulfillment, and we know it's a messianic prophecy because in verse 7 and 8 it talks about them hurling insults. In verse 43 and 44 it talks about being crucified with robbers. So we know it's connected to the messianic psalm, not so much that God looked away as much as Jesus fulfilling it, but in my estimation, and I think this is where you're heading to, it's like he's quoting it, he's using this to say this is being fulfilled here, I'm right. taking this position versus God's you know, peering away from him. It's like, I don't think that's what God was doing. I think Jesus was going, I'm the sacrifice.
And plus, why would he tell us that God will never leave us or forsake us if he would do that to his own son?
Exactly. So therein lies that challenge. And there's some people that, you know, they're a little more committed to defending that position, and I fully understand that and respect that they want to do it because at least they're trying to, you know, do it right and so on. But in my mind,
all right,
it's
just
like,
wanted to make a comment. Thank you.
All right, great job. Thank you so much. So she did fantastic. Okay. That's fantastic to way to come in and share that and give that point. Away. And that's important for you to get. I think Jesus was quoting the psalm. That's kind of my take too. And that if you go through that whole psalm, by the way, there's like six or seven parts of it that are outstanding about God coming through the process of grace and deliverance and mercies and that people were not disappointed. I like that. But, you know, if you're really committed to the other side, I'm not going to freak out. Two other things to tell you. One thing to tell you, how old was Methuselah when he died? By the way, he was the oldest man who lived in the Bible, 969 years. That's old. Too many birthdays. And then, this is my opinion. And then this is the last nugget I want to leave you with. Never forget how much Jesus did for you, but never forget how they treated him. They gave 30 pieces of silver for Jesus. Did you know that 30 pieces of silver was the price for a slave for somebody to be reimbursed for a slave? That's how they valued the Son of the Living God. That's how low value the world and the non-believers have regarding Jesus. Yikes. Right? All right. Okay, folks, you've been listening. Great job, by the way, on that call. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.